Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, February 24th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 39, the second paragraph, starting with Fred is a partner in a well-known. We're reading through 18 lines until it says, in spite of his character and standing, we're ending there. We're commenting on those specific lines. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Alice G., 12 Traditions, Dory P. Reader of the text is Deb E., and Freya H. will read page 164 and be our backup reader this morning. The reference number for Tuesday, February 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,455. That's 16455. And for this morning, Wednesday, February 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,459. That's 16459. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Kaylee R., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the practice, through abstinence, and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning. Alice G., recovering compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to serve this month's path.
Thank you so much, Alice G. And I'll now ask Dory P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning. Dory P. recovered for today from Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much, Dori P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 39, the second paragraph. Fred is partner in a well-known. We're reading through 18 lines and ending with, in spite of his character and standing. We're commenting on these specific lines. I will now ask Deb E. to begin reading. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Don. Thank you. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Fred is partner in a well-known accounting firm. His income is good. He has a fine home, is happily married, and the father of promising children of college age. He has so attractive a personality that he makes friends with everyone. If ever there was a successful businessman, it is Fred. To all appearance, he is a stable, well-balanced individual. Yet, he is alcoholic. We first saw Fred about a year ago in a hospital where he had gone to recover from a bad case of jitters. It was his first experience of this kind, and he was much ashamed of it. Far from admitting he was an alcoholic, he told himself he came to the hospital to rest his nerves. The doctor intimated strongly that he might be worse than he realized. For a few days, he was depressed about his condition. He made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. So we're finally at Fred. I can really identify with Fred, especially in terms of his outward appearance to others. I like this list here. His income is good. He has a fine home. He's happily married. These are all the material things that I thought were necessary or were like the sign of a good person, a well-adjusted person, a successful person. And I was kind of brought up in a way that focused on those things. And although those things are important to some extent, I had no idea that there was more to life than that. You know, I also from the outside looked like I had everything together, but inside it was a mess of buried emotions that I didn't want to deal with. And when they bubbled up to the surface, because they never stay buried, they eventually come out. I just shove them back down with food and character defects and bury them even deeper. My appearance of being stable and well-balanced was just that, an appearance, a mirage masking the emptiness I felt inside that I had no idea to deal with. You know, I was always what we tend to call like a high-functioning addict, right? It looked like I had my life together. And for the most part, you know, I was able to function. I wasn't just sitting around, lying in bed, not able to do things. I'm fortunate enough to be able to function, but I think it did me a lot more harm because it just kept me in denial for longer. Yet he is alcoholic. That's where the appearances stop and get taken out into the light. You know the truth that I'm an addict, and no matter how much I pretend, I can't hide that truth. He was much ashamed. I've carried around so much shame for as long as I can remember. And only now I'm starting to understand the extent of it and how deeply connected it is to my addiction, my eating disorder. And then here where it says, he made up his mind, you know, we're back in the self. When I read that, I always think of one of my former sponsors who'd say, you know, like, where's God in that? There's no, as soon as, I did that all the time. I'd made up my mind that I was going to quit binging and restricting and compulsively exercising, obsessing over food and body image. I was always making up my mind to quit, but that never worked. You know, Fred, he still thinks he has the solution. But the solution was never going to be found inside my mind, you know. But I believe the solution is always deep inside me. I believe that there's part of my higher power inside me, that I'm not my higher power, but there's part of that essence right. in me that if I connect to, thanks, I'll wrap up. If I connect to, then I can get to that higher spiritual plane and really follow my higher power's will for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb E. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on these lines. We're on page 39, the second paragraph, starting with Fred is partner in a well-known, reading through 18 lines, ending in spite of his character and standing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Freya R.
Freya.
Fran V.
Karen K.
Okay, Freya. Was that
R.
Freya H?
Freya, there's a Freya. Yeah. There's a
okay.
Freya R, too.
Okay, so Freya H and Freya R.
Ronnie
and
B. Mark,
Ronnie B.
Margaret D.
Margaret
Karen
B.
K.
Okay, hold on here. Margaret, what was your initial, Margaret?
B as in boy.
Okay. I've got Freya H, Freya R, Ronnie B, Margaret B, and who did I miss?
Don E.
Karen K.
Fran V.
And Fran, what was your
Heather
initial?
Heather
K. We're going to stop there. Fran, I'll get that when you share. Okay,
Karen
we have a.
K.
Okay, I got you. Okay, we're going to stop with this lineup here. And we're going to start with Freya H, Freya R, Ronnie B, Margaret B, Don E, Karen K, and Fran. So Freya H, if you'd go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Thank you, Dawn. My name is Freya H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Thank you so much to our first reader for beautifully unpacking this paragraph, and I'll try to keep it brief. But the fact that this story is here is really important for me because when I'm looking to identify out, I can read some of the other stories in this book, and I can do that. I can read Bill's story and be like, yeah, that wasn't me. You know, I don't really relate to that. But when I see this story, it kind of puts the nail in the coffin of, you know, the question of, do I have this disease or not? You know, do I qualify for this? And looking, you know, the fact that Fred looks like he has it all together, you know, to all appearance, he is stable and well-balanced. That is what I was striving for so long. I thought, if it looks good, you know, if I manage my external life, then maybe I can outsmart my way out of this disease. You know, maybe it'll they'll just go away on its own. Or, you know, it was like the opposite of, you know, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. I thought, well, if I just do my best to straighten out mentally and physically, maybe I can overcome the spiritual malady. And when I look back at a couple paragraphs where it talks about what Fred is illustrating, it's illustrating this attitude that this doesn't apply to me. I admit I have some of these symptoms. I haven't gone to these extremes, and I'm not going to, because I understand myself now. I haven't lost everything in life, and I certainly don't intend to. Thanks for the information. That was just absolutely me. And so Fred is here to illustrate that that attitude doesn't get us anywhere. You know, I'm not any better off than the person who goes, who has a really low bottom. And where it says, to all appearance, he is stable and well-balanced, I'm reminded of one of my favorite places on page 48, which is in the chapter The Agnostics. And it's a simple statement where it says that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. And so that truth really strikes to my core, you know, that even if it did look good on the outside, I knew in my heart that something was not right. So, and the last thing I'll say is that I can appear stable and well-balanced as long as I have my coping mechanisms. You know, the other reader referenced, you know, it's the food and my character defects. So as long as I'm using those, I can kind of hold it together. But when I try to put those down, you know, when they outlive their usefulness and I'm trying to put them down, then the real craziness comes out and I find out that actually I don't, you know, I've lost my stability and my balance, and I need something much more sustainable to carry me through and to rely on. So so all of this is just part of the process, you know, like of making up my mind that I'm going to do this on my own, and then finding out I can't. That's just a part of the process of finding out that I need this. So grateful that I get to identify, and that not only the problem applies to me, but the solution does as well. And I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Freya H. Freya R., please share with us now, followed by Ronnie B. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. My name's Freya R. from Southern California. And both of our parents must have liked Norwegian mythology, the Freyas. But I've only shared a couple times before, although I've been working the program and listening to Vision for 3.5 years. And it feels sort of divinely appointed here that I'm speaking about Fred, because everybody I know would tell you I just have the most delightful personality, except for my family, because that's where, you know, I just can't hold it together anymore. So actually, when it said that Fred is happily married, I kind of wondered about that, because being married to an addict is usually not such a happy situation. But and that actually, this delightful personality really caused me to struggle with accepting my disease. I mean, I knew eating was a problem, but really an addict, you know, I'm such a delightful person. I'm so successful, quote unquote, right? But when it came to food, you know, I, like Fred, felt very depressed about this condition. I went to therapy years ago in my 20s and for depression, but really we came back to food. Food was the root issue, I think, probably there since infancy. And so, like, my delightful personality was almost part of my addiction and part of the lie that I would believe about how I couldn't really connect or relate because I'm so delightful. So I just wanted to say that out loud for myself, mostly to remind myself that, boy, do I relate to Fred. And I'm recovered this morning for the first time for about 6 weeks now, for the first time in 3.5 years. And the joy is my delightful personality. Like, I can actually delight in myself now, and I don't have to be so delightful to everybody else all the time because of the peace that I found in myself. So anyway, thank you to all of you. Thank you to my sponsors who've helped me. It's really quite amazing. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Freya R. Now, Ronnie B., will you share with us, followed by Margaret B.? Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here, and grateful for my recovery so therefore thank everyone. I love the story about Fred. You know, a couple of things. One is that whole idea of looking good on the outside and other people thinking everything must be well absolutely was it included my eating, but it included so many parts of my life. It spilled over into so many parts of my life, that whole thought of keep up the front, do as well, you know, buy new clothes, look as well as you can, do the makeup. And people thought I was happily married for a long time because we gave that appearance of the power couple. Meanwhile, once I got home, I was miserable. And clearly he was too. We divorced and no regrets, but that was the same with eating, right? So eat, 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 starve, 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 exercise, 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 rinse and repeat, you know. So for the most part, not 100%, I stayed in the same size. Or I'd have two sizes, you know, what I called, whether or not we all like this term, I called it like, that's my fat size, right? But keep it on hand, keep it on hand. And so giving that appearance. But I knew when everybody was gone and I sat home, plowing is a good word, plowing through the food, I knew what was going. I knew how miserable I was. And because I got to the point where I knew it, then I made changes. And then I had to be careful of people once they found out I was in OA, which was completely okay with me. Saying things like, well, why would you go? You know, you're skinny. Why would you go? Well, first of all, that's a relative term. And second of all, skinny didn't mean I wasn't a compulsive overeater or truthfully miserable because of my rinse and repeat process. But, you know, eventually I wasn't rinsing and repeating. I was just eating, hiding the fat, wearing certain clothes, giving the appearance. And so today, I'm so grateful for my abstinence. Beyond, I thank God, and in the morning I say, please take control of my food. Because if I give my food to God, then I can just live a normal life. And when the meal is finished, I used to love this expression from years ago, when the meal is finished, the food gets put away, and the rest of life happens. And then for lunch, the food comes out, I eat the food, it gets put away. So I'm grateful that I can go back and resume that kind of a lifestyle for myself. And what food I write down for the day is pretty close to what I eat. Okay, thank you very much. Grateful to be here.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. And now Margaret B., will you share with us, followed by Don E. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here today. But this is a great reading. This weekend, I went into the hospital, emergency room, couldn't breathe, and I sincerely believe it was the GERD. My doctor told me it was some time ago that when it flares up from all the crazy eating, then it, you know, causes this breathing problem, and it was also exacerbated by a virus. But the point is there I am sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, it's happened again the second time. And to all appearances, I am a well-balanced, stable person. People really like me. I look like I have a great marriage. It's just simply in this area, I'm not able. And I keep thinking, this time is it? Is it it? God, have you, you know, convinced me to my innermost self that I have this problem? I'm not sure because I'm just not sure. It's so scary. That jaywalker thing comes to mind again. But anyway, it never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. Boy, how hard have I thought? I'm a good person. I pray. I go to church. I should be able to do this. But I haven't been. And so I need to turn myself over to you guys more and more and more. And I need to get that sponsor and get into my seat in this program. I'm in another program, but I need to get the seat in this program. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Have a good day.
Thank you, Margaret B. And now Don E., will you share with us, followed by Karen K. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Don in Kansas City. Don E. And it's really pretty easy to identify this morning with the reading. Outward appearances are the face that I always wore, the happy-go-lucky guy. Wanted to be funny and always make fun of myself so others wouldn't have a chance to, but they still did. But I carried the same denial that this other gentleman, Fred, carried as far as being able to get control. I was in very deep into denial and, of course, tried other programs, started on Mondays and quit on Tuesdays. The fact of the matter is I hadn't hit bottom yet. And that came with health problems and the realities of what I was doing to myself. And I realize now that step six is pretty important to me, making amends if I've got the right step. And the reason for that is it's making amends to, I think the term is, those persons or that you've harmed. And I'm probably the person that I've harmed the most in my lifetime with my secrets and my actions that gave me the shame and guilt that I have had, and still it creeps in. I guess that's just part of my makeup or my my history. But I find that I can give up those sins on a daily basis through prayer, typically to my higher power, and it helps me immensely. And of course, all the things about the fine home, fine family, everything, those are blessings. Those are the things I'm grateful for, but I'm praying for guidance and help from my higher power
time
to make my way through the day. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Don E. And now we'll have Karen K. followed by Fran. And in case you're just joining us, we're on page 39, the second paragraph, starting with Fred is partner in a well-known, reading through 18 lines, ending with in spite of his character and standing, commenting on those specific lines. Karen Kay, will you share with us, please?
Good morning. It's Karen Kay, recovered compulsive eater from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. Sorry about earlier. I tried for 10 minutes to get through the line. I wasn't able to report for service, so it sounds like that you're all set. The part that stood out to me the most in this paragraph was, and he was very much ashamed of it. I know I had, before I came into OA, I was very much ashamed of the way I treated myself, the way I treated other people, and how I was unkind to myself and unkind to other people. It's a thing that I know that only God can heal, and working the steps and helping others. As Dr. Bob says, clean house, trust God, clean house, help others. And then he's like in denial here, and like, it's going to do a rest of the nerves. You know, I remember when I went to my eating disorder unit and my dad was dropping me off at the airport. I told him I was going to a hospital for professional stress. That's back in the day when they flew you around for eating disorders. And then it goes that he was depressed about his condition. And what it is really shows that this disease does not discriminate in any demographic. I'll just leave it at that. Race, color, creed, it says he could not do so in spite of his character and standing. you know, that he had this image. And I knew when I, before I got recovered, I had this image that I had to uphold, which is pride. We all know what happens with pride before the fall. You know, I hadn't surrendered. And I can really relate to Fred's story here. He's quite the fellow. And I'm grateful that I'm able to sponsor people and to be recovered and to be in the middle of the herd. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen Kay. And now we're going to have Fran share with us. And after Fran is done sharing, I'm going to be opening up the lines again to take more names. Good morning, Fran.
Good morning. Can I be heard? This is Fran V.
Fran V. Very good. Yes, you can. And tell us where you're calling from, please.
I'm calling from Florida. And good morning, everybody. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. I can easily replace this name, Fred, with Fran. My income was good. I had a fine home. I was happily married, but that was because I was married to a wonderful man and still am. But I'm much more happily married since God has been removing defects and helping me make amends when the defects flare up. Did I have an attractive personality? I certainly don't know about that because I was so selfish and self-centered. But I was successful. I was successful, and to all appearances, I did appear stable and well-balanced, yet I was a compulsive overeater. I was unable to stop, no matter how hard I wanted to, no matter how hard I tried. And through this God-given program, my footwork, God has removed the food obsession, and he is drawing me closer and closer to him by helping me to change, to become a better person, more compassionate, tolerant. All these things are God's doing. So I do as much work as I can, and then God does the impossible. He removes the depression. He removes the obsession. It's just a blessing to be in this program, and I'm so very, very, very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Fran V. And we are on page 39, second paragraph. Fred is a partner in a well-known, going through 18 lines, ending in spite of his character and standing. So although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. Who would like to share with us this morning?
Cynthia C.
Joanne B.
Heather Cynthia, K. Cynthia C. And Heather K.
Joanne B.
Joanne B.
Mary G.
Mary G. And I'll take one more. I've got Cynthia C., Heather K., Joanne B., and Mary G. Would one more person like to share?
Sharon C.
Sharon C. Okay, very good. All right. Cynthia C., will you start us off, please? Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive eater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service today and for everybody who makes this meeting happen today. And every day, I'm incredibly grateful to be here today. I think what stands out for me in this moment in time for this paragraph, you know, is as far from admitting he was an alcoholic, I think about all the layers of dishonesty and lies that I have had in my life. You know, when I was in the food, I was so dishonest. I had no idea I was dishonest. I had just no idea. And I knew there was recovery to be had. Like, I'd been sober for many, many years, since like 91, and I had had 3.5 years of recovery in another food 12-step program. I knew there was something, but I kept thinking I could do this on my own. Like, I don't really need this program. I don't want to go back to that program. I don't need it. It's not good for me. You know, I don't just, all these levels of lies that I was so trapped and stuck in. And it wasn't until I really felt like my higher power hit me over the head and kind of put a neon sign in front of my face that says, come back to OA. And I was so gifted to find a vision for you right away. Because I never, ever, ever learned to work the steps the way I do today. I mean, I was talking to a friend who's stepped away from program for a while, and I don't know where she's going, and I love her and want her in my life. But I was recognizing some of my own lies and what she was saying. And I'm so grateful that I could come onto the meeting and say, you know, none of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm human. I'm just so grateful to have 12 steps that help me every day to look at my lies and to look at my fears and to look at my character defects. And I'm not doing it by myself, that I'm doing it within the context of this larger program, that I'm doing it in the context of having a power greater than myself, who I learn on a daily basis to lean in on and trust and ask for guidance. I work with my sponsor. I work with other people in program, that I'm not alone, that I cannot do this on my own, that I cannot choose to give up alcohol or food on my own. I can't. And even now, you know, I've been in recovery for about 3.5 years, and every once in a while I see like a behavior that I've thought was okay, and you know, and I see it's not okay, whether the behavior's around food, around money, around other issues, you know, that today I've seen that I got a little sloppy on something, you know, around how I handle food. And you know, and I could just, and I kept praying and I kept putting it in my daily inventory, asking my higher power to lift it for me, to guide me. And, you know, I woke up yesterday morning and it was there, thank you. And that willingness was there because I'm not doing it on my own. I'm just grateful that every day we can be imperfect and come to this program. With that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Cynthia C. Now, Heather K., will you share with us, followed by Joanne B. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hi, my name is Heather Kay. I'm in South Carolina, and I just started calling into this meeting last week and introduced myself yesterday as a newcomer. And I'm familiar with this story, and I'm sober, so I've read a lot of the Big Book and such, but I've never found any sort of peace with food, compulsive eater, you know, restricting and purging. And and I'm afraid because, you know, now that I'm sober, everyone keeps saying, well, you're doing so great. You must be so happy. Things are so good. And they are, as far as not drinking, but with the food, it's just miserable. And because of the honesty required for my sobriety, I'm really having a hard time because I, you know, my food behaviors all require lying, and I just can't do it anymore. So I'm stuck in this weird, scared place where I'm not abstinent with my food behaviors, but I am sober from the alcohol. So everybody thinks I look great, you know, but I'm not in a healthy place. And I'm just very scared. And I know that I cannot do it on my own. I certainly have not been able to in my 46 years to ever do it on my own. And the only time I've ever done okay with it has been in treatment. But the second I leave treatment, I'm a disaster. And and I know from AA that I need God and I need support and I need fellowship. So I'm grateful for this call, and thanks for everybody's inspiration in reaching out. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather K. Now, Joanne B., will you share with us, followed by Mary G.? Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi, this is Joanne B. In Texas, recovered one day at a time. And I appreciate the opportunity to share. I find that I very easily will share in face-to-face meetings, and I tend to just be quiet on these meetings. And what I notice is that I get farther and farther away from my fellows and from you all. And so I needed to say hello. You know, listening to those previously who have spoken has been very helpful for me, because I have noticed that that as I work with someone, and then I'll go through periods where I'm working very steadily, and I'm doing what I need to do to keep my emotional sobriety in food, with my food or with whatever, but just being emotionally sober and sane, that I do well. And then all of a sudden I might go into this period of not working with someone in the sense of, you know, in the big book with them. Maybe I'm working a different way. But then I start noticing that I get a little bit, as someone said today, just sloppy. Maybe it's with my work, or maybe it is with my food. Not so much with my food, because I know what I can have. But then I start noticing that my emotions or my mental shift, I start seeing this shift. And that's what I've noticed this last little bit, that there's thinking behaviors that are actually changing, you know, reverting back. And it just makes me realize how much I need you all. I need to make this effort every day to be on the meeting. And it may mean that I need to get up earlier and to go to the earlier meeting, which really is very difficult for me just because it's too much energy that early in the morning for my body. But that may be something I have to pray about, to where I can adjust to, where I can handle all that wonderful energy. But I don't want to go back into that ego and that shame that I, that especially before program that I was in all the time. And so hearing this about Fred and seeing that he's thinking everything is going well, possibly it isn't. And seeing that this case of jitters that's bothering him, and feeling ashamed of that, I'm being reminded. And so thank you so much. I'm glad that I had opportunity to actually sit down and listen and be part of this meeting. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Well, thank you, Joanne B. Now, Mary G., will you share with us, followed by Sharon C.? Good morning, Mary.
Hi. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and for all of Team Wednesday. And this is Mary G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. And, you know, the paragraphs we've been reading have just been so, so wonderful. I have been able to identify in and to really know that that's who they're talking about. I think in this paragraph, the word that really struck out to me was that little word, yet. You know, yet he is alcoholic. My problem in my first 17 years in OA was that I could not believe that I couldn't manage my food, just as with Fred. You know, he made up his mind to quit drinking. So I, too, made up my mind I was not going to get into the sugar again. I was not going to gain weight again. I was not going to, binge again. Whatever the things that I made up my mind, it never occurred to me that I couldn't do it, because I spent my first 17 years in OA going, you know, I am not that bad. I am sure that I can figure this out, that I can become a normal eater. I just have to learn what the secret is. You know, unfortunately, I didn't get it, that the secret is there is no secret. You are not going to ever be a normal eater. I couldn't accept that. And, you know, this whole thing of his appearance, and yet he was alcoholic. I just love that, because I, too, presented a very different front. You know, I was at the top of my career. I was in leadership in a community that I was in. You know, everything looked like it was going great. But I was a yo-yo dieter. You know, it was up and down. I would use exercise to lose the weight. And I just couldn't figure it out. And so I remember when my Ebby told me I should go to OA, that she felt I had an eating problem. You know, I was like this gentleman, you know, Fred, with the doctor, thinking, oh, I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe that I really do have an eating problem. Thank goodness I did go to OA. even though I spent 17 years in relapse, it kept me, I think, from getting to a bottom that would have been just terrific. Because I am a low bottom eater. I could get up to 500 pounds in a heartbeat, but I just didn't see it. Grateful today that today I am recovered. Today I know that it's not me, my higher power, who gives me the ability to do this. And if I ever start thinking that I am not that bad, that I don't have that problem, all I have to remember is that little word, yet. And then I'm cured of my, you know, identifying in or out or whatever it is. I simply am not there yet if I go back into the food. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. And now Sharon C., will you share with us? Good morning, Sharon.
C., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. My committee in my head speaks to me about food, especially when I'm in the kitchen. I was a professional opera singer. People seem to love me and tolerate my weight and my voice. But when I would be alone, depression would set in, and so would the food addiction. Thanks to OA's program, I'm learning how to be genuine with myself and with others. Being close to God, improving my spirituality, I've come to know that I have an addiction. Through this relationship with God and OA, I'm learning every day and am grateful every day that I'm abstinent and that I'm losing my weight and that God cares for me. Blessings to you all. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Sharon C. And we do have time for another person to share. So if you haven't shared in the last few days, if you want to give me your name and first initial.
Terry C.
Terry C., go ahead and share with us, please.
Kelly H.
Hi.
No. Yeah, I think we're just have time for Terry C., but go ahead, Terry, please.
Hi, sorry. It's Surrey C. from Connecticut.
Surrey, thank you.
It's okay. I usually very often will share at the 7 a.m. when I very often, cause God help me. I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm not recovered. So I'm not so great, and I'm not so awesome. But I just, if I were to tally up the amount of times it just said I, it's a lot. I'm scared of letting go and letting God. I'm scared of perception. I'm scared of acknowledging how much I need this program. I'm scared of calling the sponsor, of taking the action. And so time just goes by. Another day not recovered. Shucks. You know what? I'm here. I'm on this line, sounding as crazy as I'm going to sound in public because I love hearing the sound of my own voice. But I'm recovered. But to whatever degree I have some semblance of recovery, it's because I participate in these lines and you know, everything is in God's time, but I am taking one, I'm making a commitment to myself for one small action today, one small minute, one small mindfulness, something. And God, I really want to call the sponsor today. So help me. And I'm sharing because if you're on this line, and even if you're just listening, and even if you're not recovered, this line is awesome. Recovery is awesome. And I know that I want it, and I want it badly. But I need it to be complete, and I'm not going to do this perfectly. I'm imperfect. So, God, I need your help, or higher power, I need your help. And I, with that, I pass, and thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry C. And we do have about a minute left if somebody has a burning desire and hasn't shared.
Kelly H.
Kelly H. Go ahead. Take a minute,
okay,
please.
I'm from North Carolina, and I am working on my recovery with God. From the 18 sentences here, I really resonate with this guy. He doesn't know yet that this disease is progressive, even though he probably has already experienced it. He's just so detached in all of his perceptions and perfectionism. And what's about to happen is that realization, but he just doesn't get it yet. And I think there's mercy for folks like this. I experienced that mercy, but the mercy did lead me probably to another 20 years of trying to do more on my own, trying to pull it up. But it's just a good reminder to me that as I rub shoulders with public today and teenage girls, which are on my heart a lot for their perceptions, it's just good to keep it in mind. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for your share. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Freya H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Thank you, Freya.
Yes. Thanks, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.